Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study.
Boy, that sounds like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 and 17, all that, doesn't it? Go to Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. Yeah, I know we're studying Hosea, but we'll have forgotten verse 6 by the time we get there. Hosea 6, 6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Mercy comes for what? Those who love me and keep my commandments. He prefers obedience over sacrifice, which is offered after we sin. He'd rather we don't sin in the first place. It says, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God wants you to know his word more than he wants your burnt offerings and sacrifices. He wants you to know, to understand, and to follow his word. Romans 11. Hey, but Paul wrote that. Yeah. Paul gets a bum rap sometimes. Romans 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. What's he mean? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. You can't buy it. It is more precious than anything that we could ever contemplate. Deeper than our human intellect can perceive. Right. So is this trying to keep us from learning the knowledge of God? It keeps us humble, but it encourages us to study the Word, doesn't it? Study the Word. But isn't it just as good if we study commentary? No. Yeah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Daniel pointed this verse out last night. 4:1 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is about the gospel, and it's about resurrection, and it's about Messiah being Lord of all. And in verse 34, the Apostle Paul writes this, awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. It's to your shame. What he means by that is, if you as believers in Messiah continue to sin, what do you teach the unbelievers? That sin is okay. Are you leading them to heaven? Or are you leading them to the lake of fire when you do that? So the Apostle Paul says, if you're still living in sin, shame on you. Shame on you.
You know, I think about what we've talked about with people that say, you know, I don't have to read the word because God's just going to download it into me. You know, Paul says, that's to your shame because you...
Yeah. That's your shame. But you hear that a lot. I don't have to read the Bible. The Holy Spirit will teach me anything I need to know. Usually said as they're sinning openly. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, since we're in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Exalts itself against the knowledge of God, tries to turn us away from the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Messiah, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Don't allow the world to turn us away from the knowledge of God. Yes, Melanie.
When it says pull down strongholds.
When it says pull down strongholds, it's talking about... Are we supposed to pull down strongholds? Yes, those strongholds refer to the arguments of the enemy. The arguments of Satan trying to lead us into sin. Don't fall for those tricks. Don't fall for those who say, "Ah, I remember you walked down the aisle of a church one day when you were a child. You repeated after the pastor and he gave you a bath. And now you can sin all you want to and God doesn't care anymore." Where's that in the scripture? It's not. So tear down that stronghold. Go to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. It's about the knowledge of God. We may even go through verse 12 so I don't stop in the middle of a sentence. You never know. Colossians 1. Have you found it? Yeah. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That word knowledge has come up twice already in this verse, hasn't it? "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." Saints. How is saints defined in Revelation 14, 12, and 12, 17? Who keep the commandments of God in the faith of Yeshua. So Paul is praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Why? So they could go on game shows? So they wouldn't sin. So learning the Torah of God is useful in keeping us from walking in sin. Interesting. 2 Peter chapter 1. How many times does Paul say, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren"? What's he calling them when he says that? Call them ignorant. Doesn't want to be ignorant. He wants them to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. If they're ignorant, they don't have the knowledge of the Lord. They don't know what to do. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, it says, "By now you should be teachers, but you still need the milk of the word." What does he mean? He means we need to study. We need to practice what we learn from the Word of God. We need to put it to use. We need to make it the rule of our lives. Let it show us the way. Right?
Call them spiritual babies.
Call them spiritual babies. Yep. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Yeshua the Messiah, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, who have obtained like precious faith." He doesn't say to my Jewish brethren or my non-Jewish brethren, to anyone who's been saved by faith. "Grace and peace." Grace is a Greek greeting, peace is a Hebrew greeting. So he's talking to saved people out of both groups. "Be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Yeshua our Messiah." How do we gain grace and peace? By walking in the Word of God. "As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. To escape the corruption, what do we need to be filled with? Verse 3, the knowledge of him. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Study to show yourself what?
Approved.
And this is important too, coming from Peter.
Because Peter did not study at the feet of Gamaliel
like Paul did. He was a common fisherman from Galilee. He's telling people, you need to get knowledge. That's right. Absolutely correct. Back to Hosea chapter 4, verse 2. Uh-oh. Here continues the charge. How many crimes can be accused of in one charge? Lots. Yeah. He said in verse 1, there's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. And then he says, here's what you're doing, by swearing and lying. By swearing, it means taking an oath on the name of God and then lying, not keeping it. Never intended to keep it. Killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Are any of those things wrong?
They're all wrong.
Swearing falsely, let's go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Yeah, we're going to get there.
This is swearing falsely.
Mm-hmm. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Y'all want to look at each of these. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. When you take an oath on the name of God and you break it, what do you say about the name of God? That it means nothing. And God says, I will not hold you guiltless if you do that. His name to him is very important. Go to Deuteronomy 5. And you're quickly thinking, hey, that's just the Ten Commandments again. Yes, but it's off a second set of tablets. Question is, did God change it? Yeah, he didn't. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Gentlemen, when we take our oaths at our wedding, whose name do we take it upon? Don't break your wedding vows. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 20. Psalm 139, verse 20. We read a little while ago what God thinks about the wicked, don't we? Didn't we? Verse 20 says, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. What does God say about his enemies in Isaiah 66? They're toast. Yep. Well, what if it's not just a false oath? What if we're just lying? Is that okay? Let's turn up to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Why did he have to say all liars? Why couldn't he have just said those who tell more than little white lies? Aren't little white lies okay? No. Lies are lies. How about that killing? Revelation 22:15. Yes, the word is actually murder. Kill and murder are two different Hebrew words. I don't know why the translators can't understand that, but Revelation chapter 22, verse 15. Well, since we're here anyway, we'll start in verse 12. And behold, I'm coming quickly. Not soon, quickly. The Greek word is where we get the word for tachometer, which measures the speed of the rotation of your engine. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Did you keep the commandments or not? My Baptist commentary says, that's not right. That's salvation by works. No, it isn't. It's that if you have faith in God, you will be obedient. I am the Aleph and the Tav, was the Hebrew. By the way, I did send out to everybody a link for a Hebrew copy of the book of Revelation. If you didn't get the link, just let me know and I'll send it out again. It's a free download. And it's a Hebrew copy of the book of Revelation from the early 1800s. It's not a translation from English back to Hebrew. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Wait a minute. Those words in Isaiah 41:4 are about God. Is Messiah saying he's God? Yes, he is. Verse 14, blessed. It's not blessed. It's happy. Ashrei. Just like Psalm 119, verse 1. Happy are those who do his commandments. That means, here's the consequence of it, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. That city is the New Jerusalem. That is to spend eternity with the Lord our God and our Messiah Yeshua who died for us. But outside, that is not in the New Jerusalem, are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Does this tell us that sorcerers, that's pharmakia in Greek, from which we get drug abuse, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie, that they're not going to go to heaven? If they're unrepentant, that's exactly what it means. So we need to be repenting now, if that describes us. How about simply stealing? Go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. But what if we don't get caught? Yes, it's still stealing, even if you don't get caught. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. You shall not what? Steal. You shall not steal. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Sum those all up. How are we supposed to treat other people? Fairly, honorably, with mercy,
love.
With love. Deuteronomy chapter 5:19. Did this change in the second set of tablets? Nope. Deuteronomy 5:19. You shall not steal. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9. What did God bring charges against Israel for? Many things, but Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 9. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. You know what that means? That means they were being taught, so long as you keep bringing lambs to God, you can keep doing all these sins, and God will just keep forgiving it. God says, why do you do this and then come before me and ask for forgiveness? It means repent first, then come before me.
Same message as today's church.
Yep, it sure is. Yep. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. What did God say about adultery? Don't do it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. It comes right between you shall not murder, you shall not steal. It says you shall not commit adultery. Don't do it. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. What's the punishment for stealing? Do you remember? You have to return what you stole and add to it. That's not the punishment for adultery. Leviticus 20:10. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That surely be put to death means there's no other judgment available. Don't do it. Proverbs 6:32. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Understanding of what? Of God's word, of Torah. He who does so destroys his own soul. Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. Talked about innocent blood in Hosea. Deuteronomy 19 is about innocent blood. Beginning in verse 11. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, and strikes him mortally so that he dies, and he flees to one of these cities, referring to the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge were put up for somebody who accidentally kills another. Then the elders of his city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. Your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel that it may go well with you. God says the only thing you can do when there's been the shedding of innocent blood is put to death the one who committed the murder. You can't otherwise cleanse the land. So I don't know, suppose there were millions of babies being murdered across the United States of today. Does that defile the land?
Yes.
It defiles the land. But God, the government said it was okay. Does that change anything? No, it does not. Go to 2 Kings chapter 21. One of the harshest accusations God brings against Israel is the shedding of innocent blood. 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 16. Second Kings 21, verse 16. Moreover, meaning in addition to everything else that's happened, Manasseh, he's king of Israel, right? Shed very much innocent blood. So he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. So in addition to everything else, God said he shed innocent blood till it covered Jerusalem from one end to another. What was the fate of Jerusalem then? God destroyed it. They were done. Ugh. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 38. And shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. What's that mean, polluted? Made unclean. Made unclean. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him, and him literally says to his soul. A proud look, or proud eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Boy, does that sound kind of like the list of charges God's bringing against Israel in Hosea chapter 4? Let's go back to Hosea chapter 4. Because God's going to tell us why the people are committing these atrocities. Hosea chapter 4, we're up to verse 3. Therefore, the land will mourn, the land itself. Why will it mourn? The land likes to be tended, to have the crops taken care of, harvested. So it's a prophecy of captivity. And everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Why hadn't God warned them that turning away from God and committing these atrocities would lead to captivity? That's Deuteronomy 28. Go to Deuteronomy 28, verse 36. Deuteronomy 28, verse 36. Then the Lord will bring you. Who's the you? Israel. And the king whom you set over you. Israel doesn't have a king in Deuteronomy 28. They won't have one for more than 400 years after that's written. But God knows. To a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you will serve other gods, wood and stone, you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you.